Stephanie Schaefer, and you're listening to the North Star Narrative, a podcast from North Star Academy. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you're encouraged, challenged, and motivated by what you learned today. Enjoy the story. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Super excited to continue on with part two of a podcast that we started last week with Dr. Jessica Hale. If you have not had the chance to listen to part one, you can stop this now. Go back to part one so you can hear a little bit about her story in leadership and just her life overseas, her passion and drive for education. And I really want you to get to know her in part one. As we head into this part two, you're just going to get to hear even more of her heart and her journey. And I'm really excited because we have some similarities, I think, in our personalities, both driven and always wanting to be there for everyone. But sometimes we don't take care of ourselves. And so what happens if you're not taking care of yourself, or if you put work, leadership over your family? It's not a good thing. So just want you to hear from her, learn from us. And if you're in leadership right now, maybe you won't go down some of the same paths that we did. So thank you so much, Dr. Hale, for joining me again today, just to talk about your journey.
Thank you for having me. Excited to share.
Yeah. So we ended part one with just being there. I think as women, we feel like we always have to be there for everyone. And then that shame and guilt, I know I go through when I feel like I'm not enough, or I feel like, oh, they're going to feel like they're not important, or, you know, our staff and other people alongside of us. And it's like, I know when I first became the director of North Star, I really felt like that. I've got to be in touch with everyone every day. And it's really hard online because I can't just step out of an office, walk down the hall, wave at people, smile like they're not seeing me, you know? So how do I show that I care about them, love them, smile at them all online? It's really hard. And I want to do that though, but it's almost impossible, especially to do that on a daily basis. So yeah, talk a little bit about that. What do we do? And it might be shame and guilt from something else, not that, but what do we do when that shame and guilt comes? Why do we feel that so heavy as women?
I think as women, I shared a bit in the first part of this podcast that as women, we feel like we have to check all these boxes and perform at these higher levels. And that's not even mentioning our personalities. As Stephanie mentioned, I am a 3 on the Enneagram, and that's the achiever. And so I already have this disposition to really just driven to win, and this competition, and whether it be for myself or in a healthy way, it should be for my team. I already have a disposition to that. But then as women, we often are going to struggle. On top of that, we're also really good multitaskers, which can be a gift, but it can also be a curse because if we multitask all of the time, we're never resting. Mm-hmm. And I like that you mentioned the example of being there for your team, because it often comes from a really good place. We want to help the people around us. We want to be there for them. At the same time as we're not being there for ourselves. And if we can't figure out how to balance all of those worlds, then it can lead to a decline in our health.
So tell me more about around 2019, before COVID even hit, you started to have a little bit of decline in your health and stress, and what stress can do to our cortisol levels, our hormones as women, and just really put us in a downward spiral.
So I had, over the course, we came to Malaysia about 10 years ago, as I mentioned in the first part. And when I came to Malaysia, I was in the best health of my life. I was lifting weights. I'm an avid CrossFitter. I love to do high intensity workouts. I love the community and the competition of all that goes along with CrossFit. So right when we moved here, I was very healthy. We even competing in some competitions in the Philippines. I traveled with our team here. But over the course of probably 5 years or so, I had a series of very significant life events. We came to start a school. So we building a school. My husband and I were here in Malaysia by ourselves with our family for almost a year without a team. So that was challenging. I finished a degree in less than 2 years. And so through all of those life events, it became very challenging for me to really balance all of the things that I needed to in my life. My therapist put it really good. She said, there are five areas that you should pay attention when it comes to wellness. And it's spiritual, physical, social, intellectual, and emotional. And so I like to view it as a table. And when you're not taking care of one of those areas, the table just really becomes unsteady. And so I wasn't balancing those very well. And so by the time the school was about to open, I just was very exhausted all of the time. I would come home from school at about 4:30 or 5 and just crawl in the bed for the rest of the day. I had nothing left. Brain fog. I couldn't think. I couldn't put creative ideas together. And it just was this heightened level of just anxiety and exhaustion. And I didn't know what was going on at the time, but through a series of my own exploration and talking with my therapist, she said, Jessica, I think you're in burnout. And that was right before COVID hit. So we know as COVID hit, educators, we had to keep rolling. So I made it through COVID. And it wasn't until I was able to take some time and step away from the day to day that I was able to recover and really address all those five areas. Because even during the time, I would go to the gym, off and on, or I'd really spend some time in the Word, spend time with the Lord, or I would make sure I was tending to my relationships. But there was no balance in those five areas. But over the course of the last year or so, I've really been able to get balance in that. And it's made an incredible difference towards healing and growth.
So tell us more about how did you find the balance, especially in the midst of the exhaustion and not working out? Because I recently have gone through burnout as well, and I'm not as far as long as you. And so I'm still, I think on the last one we talked about, it's hard to get on my bike or to go outside. And I think it's because the energy levels are still low and brain fog is gone. I have clarity. But so how do we find the healing if we find ourselves in burnout and that extreme exhaustion? How do we get all the legs on the table standing up?
I think it's different for everybody. So one thing that we've talked about is there's all these tools out there, breathing or taking a walk. And I just don't believe that it's a right fit for everybody. And so I think that's why it's taken me so long, because I've had to figure out what would work for me. I also think as believers, we often say, pray and God will heal us. Yes, God is, He can heal us. At the same time, He has given us brains and intellect to figure things out. And also He asks us to be disciplined in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so I think you have to really explore what's going to work for you. So I can give some examples of what worked for me. If it's helpful, and I'd like to go through that. Well, the five, mm-hmm. and then just kind of give examples of what's worked for me through the last year or so. So when we think about, first of all, spiritual, I had to figure out how to really sit with God and be silent. That could be either in prayer or going out on a walk in nature and seeing His beautiful creation. But I had to figure out ways to make my mind stop thinking and stop running when I needed to spend time with Him. And so that's something that has taken discipline, and it grows over time. So you might only be able to sit there for a few minutes at a time, but then you're able to extend that as it goes. And physical, definitely working out has been that. But interestingly, I shared this previously, that I had to explore was also going on with my body, because I was working out a lot and I wasn't losing any weight or gaining muscle. So what I found was, because of my prolonged stress, My cortisol levels had been high for so long that my body had adapted to this heightened state of anxiety. And they're seeing that as we've come out of COVID, particularly in women. And it can be an outward manifestation where you look anxious, but some people just keep it all inside. But if you feel that anxiety, it's your shoulders tensed and you can't stop thinking about things, and that goes prolonged over time, then it's possible that your hormones are actually being altered. And so once we figured that out, I found a great doctor that helped with that. I've noticed incredible changes in my energy levels, which helps with the cycle of physical, because yeah. If you're doing a lot of work and you're not seeing any results, it's really frustrating.
Yeah.
So social, I think in the world of online, we have struggled with making authentic social connections. This is a great example of an authentic social connection because Stephanie or I are looking at each other. We're talking about deep things, even if we're not physically together. But if I were having the same conversation on chat with Stephanie, it would probably not be as deep of a social connection. And so how are we making sure that we're making those connections with people? This is particularly hard with leaders as well, because sometimes we find it difficult to share with people. We often have trust issues that something we say might be misconstrued. So finding those authentic social connections is important. Intellectual and emotional, the last two are intellectual and emotional. So intellectually, making sure you're continually challenging yourself. I love listening to podcasts when I'm driving. We have to drive a ton here in Malaysia. And so I'm always trying to find a new podcast that's challenging me intellectually. But that can be discouraging when you have brain fog. So it's a part that's a struggle. And then lastly, emotionally, one of the signs that you might be going into burnout or that you may be in it is these deep caverns of emotion. So you're either really, really anxious or really, really sad, and going up and down in those, and being able to even that out and finding tools to help you kind of disconnect. And disconnect as far as like, it's not an emotional issue right now, but I'm making it one, and finding ways to cope with that. So those are just some examples of the five. The one thing I left out actually physical, and one of the biggest game changers has been sleep. We are not worldwide. We are not getting enough sleep, and our bodies cannot heal and cannot regenerate. We are not sleeping. So teenagers out there, you need more sleep than any of us. But us adults should also be sleeping 8 or 9 hours a night in order to be refreshed for the next day.
Yeah. I like you brought up sleep. I have been trying for over a year to get a sleep expert to come on the podcast. We've contacted so many. Most everybody we ask will come on, and we can't find one. I don't know if it's God's timing and we're just not ready for the sleep person, but I'm like, it is so important. I know. And for me, with the burnout, kind of like what you said, I just want to go to sleep a lot of times. Like I would go home because you're just mentally exhausted, you know, and pushing through in the burnout. Like you said, you had to push through COVID. I think that you're already tired and then you're pushing through. So then you're just completely zapped by the time you get home. And yeah, your family suffers so much because you've given every little bit you had left during the day and you've got nothing left. And so, yeah, that's a real struggle, really hard. So sleep is important. And speaking of listening to podcasts, you told me yesterday about a podcast. And so I jumped on and found one. I scrolled through all of his podcasts and did find one, but it's Managing Leadership Through Anxiety, Stephen Cuss. So I scrolled through and one was said Armageddon. Did you listen to that one?
I did.
I don't know why that caught my eye. I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to it. But just how anxiety can feel like the end of the world. And it was so good because it was just really practical for me because I have struggled with anxiety. I don't know if I had so much anxiety before and that causes the burnout or if the burnout heightens the anxiety. But either way, it's definitely come to the top and I've realized that is one of the issues. But he talked about how we listen to lies. And so we work something up so much in our life about being anxious, fear, a lot of times listening to the fear and how it seems like life or death, like Armageddon, the end of the world's going to happen. And we're not rational. If we take time to be rational and think about this, then we're like, oh, it's not really the end of the world. But what did you gain from that podcast?
So I really love his analogy of how we look at anxiety in people, and especially as leaders, because he says that we should be looking at anxiety in ourselves and thinking about what's causing my anxiety, what's bringing that in. We should be looking at what's causing anxiety in teams, and if there's a source of that. But he said the one place we should not be trying to figure out anxiety is in another person. And he said, that's the Holy Spirit's job. And he said, if that person chooses to share with me what's going on with them, then I can deal with that situation. But what I shouldn't be doing is trying to figure out why they're acting or anxious the way that they are. And I really like that analogy, because I think if we are truly servant leaders, we want our people to be happy. We want our teams to be functioning in a healthy way. We want our individual team members to be functioning healthy. But it's not our responsibility to take on that anxiety from those individual people. And so one thing that I like to think about, and it's one of the pastors I've been listening to, he was talking about our identity. And that's something that really resonated with me. And it seems so simplistic, because it is something we teach our students and we teach our kids at a very young age about our identity being in Christ. And I think that as leaders, sometimes we care so much, again, coming from a good place, we care so much about our organization, about our school, about our people, that our identity gets caught up in those spaces when that isn't our identity. Our identity, even as moms and wives, that's not our identity. Our identity is in Christ. And so a lot of that source of that anxiety will come up because if something goes wrong in our team, if something goes wrong with someone we're working with, if it's caught in our identity, it's personal. It's about us. And that's why we're going to get really worked up in those spaces of anxiety. But if I can be a bit disconnected from it, and I don't mean you don't care, but if I can keep my mind on, actually, my identity is in Christ. And if I'm his daughter, he loves me so much. And that's what matters above and beyond everything. If I can keep that slight disconnection, then I can handle those. I can face those challenges and those issues in a much healthier way. And that's a little bit of, I think, where mine came from is our story of, I mean, we built a school from the ground up here. We designed the tables in the classrooms, in the windows, in the iPad, like the infrastructure and all that. And so there was this source of, oh, this is who I am and what I do. And no, it's not. It's a piece of me, but it's not actually who I am. I am is a daughter of Christ, and that's where my identity needs to stay. And so, I think that is a big thing to recognize. And the other thing I would highlight is the danger of it, because if we stay in this heightened state of anxiety, our body gets used to it and thinks it's a baseline. And that's why it takes a long time to get out of it, because you have to create another baseline in your body to think, okay, that's not, it's like flight or fight. If something's coming against us, we either flight, we want to run away, we want to fight it, or we want to freeze. And so those become our basis for everything instead of that, that disconnect that I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's so good. And you mentioned therapy and counselors. I mean, that really helps. Counsel from the Lord, the ultimate counselor, you know, through his word and digging in and seeing who he is and who we are in him, our identity. But yeah, it's also good to have a physical person that's, you know, trained, a biblical counselor that can walk alongside of you. So that's so important. But so burnout, we've said that word several times. So for those that, yeah, have no idea, burnout, what is that? Maybe students. So how would you define burnout from your experience?
I will say this. I'm not quite sure how to define it, but I will say I had to have somebody tell me that I was in it for me to recognize it. And then once my therapist said, I really think this is happening to you, I began to investigate and noticed all of the signs. And again, it's that consistent heightened sense of anxiety. It's brain fog. It's forgetfulness. I was telling my husband a story the other day, and I said, you know, I think it started when I lost my pair of sunglasses. And we calculated it back, and he thought, yes, because over the course of the last few years, I've broken 3 phones. I've lost 2 pairs of sunglasses. And so it's forgetfulness, you know, I think it manifests differently in different people. But that can be very frustrating, especially to someone who likes to be organized.
For me, I defined it as being revved up, like a car that's just revving constantly, and I could not calm it down. And so I think that that's why retreating to bed, okay, the only way I can calm this down is to completely shut it off and sleeping. That heightened just the revving up and the go, 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 knowing you need to rest, knowing you need to stop, the anxious thoughts. And I would say a lot of times, I don't think I'm really in burnout. I think I'm just tired. I'm just stressed. But pressing on and kind of researching it and then realizing with real burnout, a lot of the research shows that your electrical, the way your brain fires, the electrical ends, however, the incredible brain that we can't even understand how God has made it. But there is some rewiring that happens. There's a different, I don't know how, you know, no one probably really knows how to explain it. We can't understand the incredible body God has made fully, but there was definitely a switch, some changes, whether the brain fog, headaches, just a wall you hit, you can't break through it, you're stuck. I mean, those are the words that come to mind when I think of burnout.
Definitely accurate. There's a really good book called The Body Keeps the Score, and it talks about the physical issues that come along with ongoing heightened sense of anxiety, but also trauma. So there is trauma. And depending on how we went through COVID, us here in Malaysia, we were locked down on and off for 2 years. There was 4 months where we were not allowed to walk outside of our home, except for to go get groceries. And so we had it pretty tough. And so there was definitely some trauma faced there, and your body, it's all held up in your body. And it's hard to pinpoint. You can say, you know, for me, it definitely is shoulders. I started noticing that kind of, why am I so tensed up all the time? And so just taking the moment to relax, as well as some breathing exercises. And, I think being aware, if I could say the biggest advice I would give to those that are trying to seek healing out of burnout is awareness. Because if you are seeking to come out of burnout, you're reading everything, listening to the podcast, you're probably seeing a therapist, but are you aware of what that looks like for you? Because the tools for you might be a little bit different than everybody else. And I like to phrase it, or like to visualize it, like a piece of the puzzle. And so what piece of the puzzle is it? It's not going to come together. And I got so mad when my therapist said it was going to take 6 months to a year to get out of it. I got mad because I said, give me the solution now. I can do it in a month, because I'm driven and competitive. Yeah. I can do it faster than anybody else. And she just said, Jessica, that's not
how I'll be writing a book about it.
Exactly. She said, exactly. How can I capitalize? It's like, write a book, you know? But she said, nope, that's not how it works. And she was exactly right, because even this issue with the cortisol levels, I just found that out in January. Whereas some of the prayer and meditation practices, prayerful meditation practices, I've been doing that since August. So it's all these pieces that come together over the course of time and really integrating them into your life. And so that's what I'm kind of facing next, is I go back to school, to the day-to-day of school, and how can I continue to integrate these practices to stay healthy over time? because I do not want to go back there. And that was the other thing I was going to mention. Americans are known for being burnout being a badge of honor. You know, is we've worked so hard that we go into a burnout, and so you often see this championed as a badge of honor. Yep, I'm in a burnout again. But it's anyone that's experienced it would not anyone's actually experienced it would not be phrasing it in that way at all. And so I think we often have to fight a cultural norms that tells us to keep going and going and to eat bad food. I mean, you're boring if you eat vegetables and drink water, but that's the best way to fuel our body. It's not sugars. Mm. And so we are fighting these cultural norms as well.
Yeah, that's good. And I just want to say to those listening, if you think you might be in burnout, or maybe you're just starting to get really stressed, like, you're not alone. Here's two women in leadership. We've both gone through it. The stats are really high that a lot of people have experienced it or will experience it at the high paces that we drive ourselves. And it doesn't matter if you're Enneagram 3, 1, 2, 4, 5. I mean, anybody can experience this if we're not, you know, taking care of ourselves. And if we put those extra pressures and stress on ourselves for an extended period of time. So you're not alone. Counseling therapy is great. It is not for weak people. It is actually for strong. You know, it takes effort to go through it. And when I started it, I hated all the tools and the little things. Here's what you need to do, you know, and I really kind of fought it. And, oh, is this really for me? Is this counselor crazy? You know, and just making all these excuses or whatever. But so just give in, and wherever you are, like, press into it, accept it, give it to God, watch Him heal, because He will bring healing. Or you'll find yourself back in it again. Maybe you try a little bit of things on your own, but get with people, get with other people in your community, build a community. But one thing I wanted to mention, a tool. So Jessica gave me a name of a book, and it's really good. I haven't finished it. I'm a little over halfway, but it's called At Your Best: How to Get Time, Energy, and Priorities Working in Your Favor by Carrie Newhoff. Really good. I love how it's just so practical. And he's got me laughing. A negative about me is I don't laugh very much. I want to try to laugh more, but I was laughing out loud reading this book. I loved when he said, if I just have one more thing, just one more thing happens, I'm going to be like a cheese puff blown away in a windstorm. And he just really caught my attention immediately in reading the book and gave some practical tools like the green zone, the yellow zone, the red zone. We can't stay in the green zone, which is the best. That's when you're at your best, the best time of the day, doing your best things, 3 to 5 hours max for people, he says. Then you get in your yellow zone where you're not able to accomplish as much. You're not at your best. Red zone, you probably shouldn't be trying anything. It's time to get those 8 or 9 hours of sleep, right? And so just knowing what you're best at, what God's gifted you in, the skills and talents that you're pursuing and pressing into, those need to be done during the green zone at those best times. So it's just, there's a lot of practical tools. I'd really recommend the book. I haven't finished it. So Jessica, what happens at the end? Like, why would you recommend it?
Oh, it goes back to awareness. I think that's the biggest tool I take away from that book is knowing, you know, if we are aware of where our red zone is, we don't even try to push through. You need to go take a nap. You also need to be careful of conversations with your family during those red zones. And we have a joke in our house now. I'll say red zone. Everyone's like, okay. So, you know, I think it's just awareness of how you are. But then also where you can be highly effective and highly efficient, whether it's meeting with people or completing a task in those green zones. So again, awareness of yourself and the way that God made you beautifully and special.
Yeah. There's some things you do not need to be doing in your green zone, like maybe checking emails, some things that can move to the yellow zone. You need to do the things where you need to be the most productive and you're on, not getting really tired. So yesterday I hit a red zone really quick at 12:30 my time. So I was actually in a meeting in my operations team with two other people. And I was just like, y'all, I'm hitting a red zone, but I was aware. I started to become irritable or grouchy or quick. I was just exhausted. I was tired. I needed a break. And a real cool story. So this isn't just for adults or adults going through burnout. Like, if you're nowhere near burnout, if you're not stressed, get the book anyway. It's really good. I do recommend it. But I shared it with my son, my 7-year-old son, while driving him home from school the other day. I explained the red, the yellow, the green zones, and just what that looks like. And I said, hey, what do you think, you know, what are your zones? What time are you in those zones? He was immediately able to articulate from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm in my green zone, you know, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. I'm in my yellow, and then I'm in my red. And I was like, what? Not only was he listening after school, he understood it, and then he was able to articulate it. And I was like, yeah. And you know, you have a game tonight at 7:15 p.m. That's in your yellow zone. What can you do to get back in your green zone a little bit? You know, and he's like, yeah, rest when I get home, take a nap, because he does talk about in the book, you can push yourself for a little bit back into the green zone. Anyway, I just thought that was really cool. So to me, it just reinforced this is practical. It gives you something to think about and really relate your day to on a day by day basis. So thank you so much for sharing that book with me.
Worse.
Yeah, it's really good. And so there's so many tools out there. There's so many things. And like Jessica shared, everyone's different. It's not going to be the same journey for anyone, or the same tools, or the same counselor, or, you know, time frame. So really pray and ask God, you know, for help. He is the helper. He will direct your path, because he does not want us living in this constant chaos, confusion, up and down, shut down. What's some of the verses that God's given you that you've meditated on through this journey?
So one of my mantras has been, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, because I don't know if it's last summer or the summer before, but my mother-in-law bought me this bracelet that's quite popular in the States. I don't know what they're called, but they're like silver and gold kind of mixed together, and they've got Bible verses associated with them, but it happened to be that verse, and that was already one. But if you work that back and you say, be still and know that I am God, be still and know that I am, be still and know, be still, be. That's been something that I've really worked on, is just be in the presence of God. And if we are, if not just Enneagram 3s, but anybody that's been in these heightened states of anxiety, it is just hard to be, because we've got so many things going on in our heads all of the time. But God just wants us to be with him. He just wants us to stop and just be with him, whether it's praying to him, whether it's looking at his beautiful creation, whether it's enjoying our family. I find joy in my dogs too, you know, just playing with our dogs. There's real power in just spending that time in enjoying what he's given us in our life. So that's been a huge source of encouragement to me. And, you know, also I think he brings those verses in our lives to challenge us in unique ways, because it's not easy. It's not easy to just stop.
I love that. I love how God just has given this time together, and how encouraging you are to me and to those listening, and just the journey that you chose to press into and go with and be with God and be who he has created you to be. And then your identity. You've pressed into that and know who you are in Christ. And so I'm so thankful for you and how you're investing in women, and know God's got so much more on this journey with him for you, and so many women you're going to be able to share with, lead, and invest in. So thank you for taking time. I know it's late for you in Malaysia, but for staying up with me and just sharing your story.
Thanks for having me. It's been a real privilege to share. And I just encourage women, this isn't easy, you know, it isn't, it's this vulnerability at its finest. But if we don't share with one another, then we're keeping our story to ourselves. And it really is important that we're able to share, because there are probably a lot of people that are going through the same journey that we are. And we need each other to support and to learn from one another. So thanks for having me and allowing me to tell my story.
Yeah. And if you're out there, you have a story to tell, contact me. You can write me anytime at podcast@nsa.school. I would love to know your story, and maybe you want to share your story with people around the globe through North Star's podcast. So we do find freedom in sharing. Other people find freedom when we share the vulnerability that comes with that. And yeah, just community. So also, I always like to share a lot of times on the podcast, if you don't have community, if you feel like you don't have someone you can pray with, like you can call up to North Star Academy and just say, I need someone to pray with, and we will pray with you right then. So we are here for you. You're not alone, no matter where you are across the globe. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions for our guest or would like information about North Star, please email us at podcast@nsa.school. We love having guests on our show and getting to hear their stories. If you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest to feature, please email us and let us know. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming stories.